After a bit of a hiatus, I guess you could put it that way, we're going to have another sermon here in our series of Windmill Faith. So take your Bibles, if you would, please, and run with us over to the book of Matthew, chapter number 14. And it's driving down, was it Sheffield Avenue here this morning, or not this morning, duh, a few days ago, and passed by my favorite windmill, and as I was staring at it, my wife was actually driving, so I was allowed to stare. I just got to thinking about how you've got to have that windmill in the right place and the right size of the windmill in order to get the most benefit from the wind that is flowing through there. And as I began to look at it and pray about it, the Lord led us over here to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14. And we're going to read verse 24 down through 30. The Bible says, "But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary." In other words, it was opposed to them. "And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It is a spirit,' and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, 'Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid.' And Peter answered him and said, 'Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water.' And he said, 'Come.' And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous or strong, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, 'Lord, save me.'" Properly read, this is Matthew 14, 24 through verse number 30. Again, this will be our seventh sermon in our little series here on Windmill Faith. And specifically, we would subtitle this one, "Where the Wind Blows." Where the Wind Blows. Our most gracious Father in heaven, we do thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. And I want to thank you, Lord, for each and every one who's tuning in here, whether it be live or down the road there on Facebook or the YouTube channel, whatever the case would be there, Father. We do, and I also there for sermon audio, yeah. I want to thank you, Lord, for the support that the people have given. It's been a help. And I want to thank you, Lord, that you've been guiding me, show me, you know, what to do here with the Garage Baptist, the services, the sermons, the Jubilee we just had here a couple of weeks ago. I want to thank you, Father, for all of that, Lord. And I pray, Father, that you would just use this little outpost for your honor and glory. That people would see their need for Jesus, to get back to Jesus, to get saved by Jesus, whatever the case is there, Father. And that they would understand that this is just supplemental material, that they need to make sure that they are congregating together there at the local assembly. We do pray, Lord, for whatever the future is supposed to be, Lord, for your guidance and direction there, whatever the case is, Father. So we want to be sensitive to your holy will. And help me, Lord, please, to walk closer to you. To be the Christian, the husband, the father, the preacher, the friend that I'm supposed to be. In the name of Jesus, we ask you for all this. In his precious name, amen and amen. So where the wind blows, it's one thing to go out and build a windmill, but if you ain't got wind blowing, what good is it going to do you? It's another thing to go out and build a windmill in a place where the wind blows, but not where the wind is actually blowing at. For example, if you've got a wide open plain and there's hardly ever a breeze, it ain't going to do you much good to build a windmill. And certainly the bigger the windmill is, the more wind you need to actually turn it. If it ain't got wind to turn it, it ain't gonna go nowhere. It'll look pretty to some people. To some people, it'd be ghastly because it takes away from the natural scenery. You've got to make sure that you are doing things correctly in order to accomplish anything. If we're going to go out just to do something, we're just going to throw it against the wall. Another idiom is we're going to run it up the flagpole, see who salutes. We're not going to accomplish much. It's got to be done right, or you're wasting time and money and resources. Now, here in our text, we've got Jesus has just got done teaching there by the seaside, and while he's sending the multitudes away, he's told the disciples, get in the boat, go to the other side, I'll catch up. And as he gets done, when he gets done sending the multitudes away, the Bible tells us he goes up to the mountain to pray. He gets done praying. He comes down here walking on the water. And in the fourth watch of the night, the darkest of times, because it's getting to be closest to morning. So I suppose it's not the darkest times, but it'd be the coldest of time in the day. Here comes Jesus walking on the water. Now, for hours, they have been fighting against this contrary wind. The Bible tells over there, Mark, that they have been rowing against the wind. They couldn't use the sail because the sail's trying to push them backward away from the goal, whereas that they're trying to go forward. So they've been rowing, and they ain't been making a whole heap a lot of progress as far as they're concerned. But if God sends us someplace, just like he sent the disciples someplace, we must be in his will. So therefore, we need to be sensitive to what it is that he's trying to accomplish. Now, by sending the disciples out there onto the lake, in this boat, knowing full well they were only going to get part way out there and basically they were going to be dead stop because of the contrary wind, God was establishing a windmill at just the right height to catch the wind at just the right volume. For at least one of them anyways, the other 11 didn't get out of the boat. Their loss, Peter's gain, he still holds the record as far as sinful man goes of walking on the water. I don't care what Hollywood shows in their movies there. There's something just underneath the water there that's allowing them to walk. But God is trying to guide our steps so that we can produce for him. I want you to notice here in verse number 24 that there's a stoppage that sometimes is required if we're going to make progress. It says, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. As we said, the word contrary there means it's opposed. It's not allowing them to go forward. If you're in a boat with a sail attached, you expect the sail to work for you. You expect the sail to help push you along on the water there. By the way, just to let you know, when we get to the new heaven and earth there, there's not going to be any more water out there. The reason why is because covering vast distances, water is actually faster than trying to go over land because the wind can push the boat across. And here they are, they're trying to go from one side of the lake to the other side. So they got the sailboat and they're trying to sail over there. You would think that they'd be making progress. They'd even be there in a couple hours. Instead, they weren't because nothing was working right for them. And how often do we get in those times where it just seems like we're, God, I don't get it. I'm trying to go forward for you here, but yet I can't make progress. The reason why we can't make progress is because God is trying to stretch our faith. Our feet need to stay still, but we need to stretch out there. Well, we need to be able to reach out there where God would have us do. Instead, we're trying to hunker down lower and lower because we can't move. God wants us to go forward, but He's got us stopped where we need to be so that we can move forward. But we can't see it. Like going and trying to set up some sort of windmill. And man, I see the wind over there. We need to go over there. And yet, I've got this heavy windmill right here. And the wind don't seem to be blowing. But I can't pick it up and move it over there where the wind is blowing. Because, spiritually speaking, God doesn't want the windmill over there. He wants the windmill right here for when the wind comes here. And He doesn't want the windmill close to the ground. He wants the windmill way up here so it can reach. By the way, the higher that windmill is, the longer they can make the blades, the more wind can be caught. But it's not something you're going to sit there and think is portable and move it around to where you want it to go. We need to stop where God wants us to stop. I read this a few weeks back and found it very, very interesting, because oftentimes something will happen to us that stops us dead in our tracks and leaves us scratching our head. I don't get it. What's going on here, Lord? I thought I was in Your will. It seemed like this is what You'd have for me to do. And the next thing I know, boom, everything came to a screeching halt. The people who I thought were supporting me, they done turned their backs on me. They done walked away from me. They're saying bad things about me now. They're stabbing me in the back there. I just don't get it. Why the stoppage on all this, Lord? And this is what I read. That betrayal could be the blessing you desperately need. Maybe the reason God is stopping us is because, while yeah, we're trying to go the way He'd have for us to, we're still not doing it quite right, and He's got to stop us before we get too far off course. He's got to stop us because we've gone as far as we needed to go on that course. It's now time to start running a different course. Interesting thought there. We don't tend to think of it that way. When plans suddenly get thrown up in the air and everything gets ripped out from underneath us there. And God's saying, look, you've already done that one as far as I needed you to go. It's time for a different assignment. Wow. Maybe we should stop and think about that from time to time, eh, Matt? But not only the stoppage of where the wind blows, but the surprise. Verse 25 and 26. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking in on the sea. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. All of a sudden, this ain't normal. This ain't part of the program. Whoa, Nelly! Something done got turned loose here. Whoa! Kind of like how when you step in the shower and you turn on the water and you forgot to turn off the shower portion first, all of a sudden you're getting soaked with that cold water. Whoa, God! Talk about a surprise! This ain't what I wanted. But it woke you up, didn't it? Ever been in one of those services with, man, the Holy Spirit just all of a sudden bust out in there? And the preacher, he don't even get the chance to get up there and preach because the Holy Spirit done showed up. The big preacher done showed up. And he's doing all the preaching. And people are running back and forth to the altar praying. The singers are up there singing every song they know and then some. They ain't got nothing left. But the Holy Spirit's the one who's large and in charge. And it's a surprise. We weren't expecting all this. We wanted it. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But we weren't expecting it. Well, God was. Man thinks he's got an idea about how things are supposed to go, and God just sits there and says, nope, not today, Buster. I got something better for you. Ain't that wonderful? Been in a few services like that, and it's like, my soul, it's so good. Just to sit there and praise and worship my Father. Ain't that what church is supposed to be about, people? Praising and worshiping God. And even though we think things are falling apart, if we'll stop and realize that, hey, maybe I need to take this moment that has caught me off guard and just worship God, because obviously He's at work in something here. My windmill is catching some wind I weren't expecting. We might get a blessing. Told a church some time back, I'd rather have a church that's got faith than got money. Because a church that's got faith, they're going to see results. They ain't going to have to worry about money because God's going to take care of them. But a church that's got money, they ain't going to have a church for too terribly long if they ain't got no faith. Faith is the currency of heaven, not the almighty dollar bill there. I know of a church that they got going. Started praying, hey, and the Lord set them up where they can get them a piece of property. Got a deadline. Don't look like they can handle it the way that they're talking about the money at first. Okay, it ain't going to work, ain't going to work. And all of a sudden, the surprise comes in. And here's all the money that's needed. Got the property, all right. Keep following the Lord. See where He leads with that property. See what He's going to do. Don't feel like going to church, but man, something about it. I'm just being nagged. I really need to go to church tonight. Follow that nagging, because God may have a surprise in store for you. The wind may be getting ready to start turning your windmill there. Get you all fired up. But you ain't going to know unless you step out in faith and start seeing what God's got for you. Hey, man! We struggle so easily with why, God? When we know we were doing right. God might answer why. He might not answer why. But we need to have faith and trust in Him. Follow Him. See where He leads. But after the surprise, we see the saying of Jesus. Verse 27. But straightway, that's just a fancy word for saying immediately. They cried out in fear. Immediately Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Hey, slow your roll, people. I got this. It's all in my hands here. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to see you through. Oh, and by the way, let me reread that verse here. Jesus spake unto them, saying... I get excited. I get a little loud. I might even do a little shouting occasionally. Can I just say, Jesus didn't have to shout here. Uh-uh. Even though the wind is howling, the waves are crashing down all around them, Jesus didn't have to overcome nature for the disciples to hear. He just spoke. Hey, y'all, be a good cheer. It's me. We good. I think that's in the ESV version. I'm not sure. Or maybe it's the SUV. At any rate here, he didn't have to have a shouting match. Jesus ain't going to get into a shouting match with you. He's going to softly tell you. Well, is he going to tell me loud enough where I can hear him? No. He speaks a whole lot louder than that. He's going to speak directly to your heart. How am I going to know it's Him? Bible says to try the Spirit to see whether to be of God or not. Pray about it. Ask, seek, knock. See what He is doing. Your windmill starts turning with the wind. Make sure you turn, catch as much of that wind as possible. Say, but yeah, I want to face the morning sun, and I want to enjoy that. Well, if it's over there off on the opposite horizon that he's blowing from, you need to be turning over there and see what he's got for you. Because he's trying to direct you. That's why he's saying what he is saying to us. He's saying, hey, the wind is up here. You need to rise to the occasion. He's saying the wind is down there. You need to be kneeling down there in prayer. Whatever the case is, church, that's what we need to be doing. That's why he speaks to us. So how does he speak to us? He speaks to your heart. He speaks to you through his word. He speaks to you through these sermons. He'll minister to you in songs. We've got to listen to what he's saying and then move with it. I want you to notice here, verse number 28, the structure. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. You know what Peter just decided to do? Peter just decided he was going to erect a windmill out there on the water. Miracle from my Father is waiting in the water. Yeah, we've got offshore turbines that collect the wind energy. Yeah, all across the globe. Ain't nothing wrong with building a windmill out there on the water. If that's where the wind's blowing, that's where you got to go. That's where we need to get going at church. The rest of those boys decided to stay there in the boat, to stay there in the safety of the boat. They lost out. Peter's out there on the water. I don't know how far he walked. It don't much matter how far he walked. The fact of the matter is, he walked out there on the water. Sometimes, church, we need to step out on the water, go a little bit deeper, see what the Lord's got for us. We might be surprised if we go a little bit further before we start building what he's going to do for us. I look around me and I see all this construction here of this little 6x8 foot room. And I'm reminded how it started off. I had the garage door, what's right here to my right, your left. Had the garage door there, and I had a 6-foot ladder set up here with a block of wood to hold my phone up. That's how Garage Baptist started there. But I was taking a step out of the boat to go build the windmill. Eventually got the tripod, a little actual piece to hold the phone still the way it's supposed to be, instead of taking the chance of just leaning it. Spray painted the garage door blue there, try to darken it up for when that light was just pounding through there and you could actually see me versus me, you know, look like an overexposed negative. Putting the platform underneath me to get me off the hard concrete. Building walls. Trying to figure out exactly which direction we can go. Looking at the dimensions of the garage. And, all right, we got to change 90 degrees here. Put the camera over there. The pulpit back over here. Steps out onto the water. To see where the structure could be built. A few months down the line, lost power. Went out and got a battery backup. Got that installed. Trying to figure out how I can run air conditioning out here now. Hey, man, we'll worry about that one later, I reckon. The fact of the matter is, though, this. None of this that you see on the screen here would be here today if I hadn't gotten out of the boat. If I hadn't decided the Lord is leading me to build my structure here, to build my windmill here, wouldn't have happened. I might still be in bed at this particular time and juncture. But you know what? The blessings. Yes, the blessings. God has sent this boy's way. Just being willing to build the structure there and just build till it hits the height that the Lord wants to catch the wind. It's something else, church. It's something else. But it requires us to step out to do it. Verse 29. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Church, we tend to overlook something here. Yesterday, they spent all day listening to Jesus preach. The evening comes, Jesus tells them to get into the boat to go to the other side. I don't know how far they managed to sail before they realized they were going to have to put the oars in the water and start paddling for their destination because the wind wasn't going to let the sail work. But they've been toiling all night, rowing against this contrary wind. So even though the sail has been rolled back up, it's no longer a factor. The waves are still pushing against the boat. They're tired. They're sore. They're worn out from all night. This ain't midnight that we're talking here. The fourth watch of the morning is the early morning before the sun's going to come up. They've been up close to 24 hours at this point. They're tarred. They ain't tired. They're tarred. And still Peter says, I want to go for a walk. Yeah, we might be tired, church. We might be beaten. Worn out, disgusted, sick of the whole thing, ready to throw in the towel, we're beat. The storms just keep raging. The storm was still ongoing. There are waves out there. We have this problem. Well, we see the boat being tossed in the waves. We see how the wind is affecting everybody in our minds. And then Peter gets out on the boat and suddenly the water behind the boat is nice and calm and flat. Like a sheet of glass. Well, okay, he gets out of the boat and he starts walking on this nice calm water over to Jesus while the storm is raging all around him. The wind ain't blowing where he's at. Where do we get that from? Our overactive imagination. The wind is still blowing. The waves are still rolling. The boat is still being bounced up and down by the waves. Boat's up, going up and down like this, and Peter, he's still climbing out of the boat so he can get out here onto these waves and walking to Jesus. But until we step out, we're going to miss out on some things. You see, if you want to learn, you've got to get out of the boat. If you want to grow, you've got to get out of the boat. And if you want to experience God, guess what? You got to get out of the boat. It may not look safe. It may not make any sense. Trust me, this 6x8 foot room here made no sense. In fact, there's some people I'm sure that still say it don't make no sense. They're lost. The church, just because it don't make no sense to man doesn't mean that it don't make no sense to God. Because if God has ordered it, then it's what God wants and it makes perfect sense. And if we will step out of our comfort zone, if we will go out there into the unknown, if we will go out there and do what He'd have for us to do, the way that He'd have for us to do, build as high as it is supposed to go, no higher or no shorter,
We're going to catch all the wind he's got for us, and we are going to produce for the Lord. Yeah, it may not be the results you and I want to see, but so long as it's the results he wants, that's all that matters. So in closing, let me just say this. If we want to have a proper windmill, we've got to go exactly where the wind is. Not just underneath it, not over it, but build to where the wind is at. And the only way we can do that is by following God. My question and statement for you today is this. Are we willing to go where the wind blows? And the statement is, we may fail, but we can get back up with the help of Jesus. Peter did. So can we. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, once again for all that you've done for us. We do pray, Lord, for your blessings upon this day. We ask you, Father, please help us to follow your holy will. And we do pray, Lord, that each and every one was able to get something out of the sermon here today. And help us, Lord, to take that something and apply it to our hearts and to our lives. Thank you, Lord, for all those who've tuned in for the live broadcast here, as well as they'll be listening in later on, sermon audio, and they're on the YouTube channel and whatnot. I pray, Lord, for your blessings upon those other avenues as well to get your word out there. As you said, your word will not return unto you void, but will accomplish that which you desire. Pray, Father, for Granny Jay also. She comes to mind there and all that she's going through. Pray, Father, for the healing that she needs. And for the comfort of mind as well. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen.